more chairs in case down here?
Yes, there's some chairs outside. We can do more chairs as well. More over there. Are we letting guys in after quarter tonight?
This is Israel. I think 5 minutes
is acceptable. So I've made a short. We'll have to try and really get through what we need to get through each week, because we've got a 45-minute window to try and do that. If later on you want it to be longer, we'll make it longer. But I want to start off so it's not that people know how much time it is and they're okay with that. So a few words of introduction. I mentioned in the group part of the attraction of Bechorot. The challenge of Bechorot is it's hard. We haven't chosen it. Anybody learned it before? You've done it in Bekiyas, or you've done it like this? Done it in Bekiyas. So it's a hard one. You probably found even in Bekiyas, it's a hard Masechta. And there are a lot of unfamiliar things that we're going to have to battle with and try and gain understanding to. The beauty of it is it starts introducing us to ideas of Kodshim, and at the same time it's dealing with Mamonot, because at the end of the day the Bechor belongs to the Kohen, so there's a Mamonot issue, there's a Kodshim Mishpat issue. Who does it belong to? When does it belong to? Under what conditions does it belong to? So there's an ownership issue. Oh, we've got some people. Hi. Oh, you made it.
Lots of Jews.
Right. Mosh, outside on the balcony.
Thank you.
Hi, good to see you. How are you? Happy to see you, Simon. Good to see you.
The Kohanim, always late.
The Kohanim.
We were in the English version of Bet.
We said we're going to lock the door in 2 more minutes.
There's a couple more in the next round of lifts coming up.
Are there? So we'll need a few more chairs then.
They should know that. In 2 minutes we lock in the door.
I said I always liked
to be like that. After one eye, give us a chance.
Hi, come inside.
Always. It's more than a matter of the company we held.
Is there space there? I mean, to have a chat.
Yes. You can sit on all that, can't you?
It's very wonderful to see you all, but I've got to say, the real test is endurance. The first night, the first cheer is that's easy. You know, the test will be the endurance.
Sure. At least we get points for being here on day one.
Definitely. So Bechorot is not an easy Masechta, but it's an interesting Masechta. But the important thing is in our learning, in this learning, particularly the interest and the aim is not to cover any amount of ground. It makes no difference how much we cover or don't cover. What's important is that in each year we're learning new things. That in each year we're learning how to think. And that to me is the most important part of Gemara, is the degree to which Gemara molds our thinking, not the degree to which we understand or know the Gemara. They're two separate dinim, as you know, with the learning of Torah. The one is to know the Torah, that's v'shinantam levanecha, where you're supposed to have yediot, you're supposed to know the Torah. And the other is v'higita bo yomam v'layah. The other is it needs to occupy your mind. And it occupies your mind when it starts molding your mind, when the method of Gemara and the method of Chazal starts molding the way we think about everything. Then it's v'higita bo yomam v'layah, because it doesn't matter what you're thinking about. If you're thinking about your business and you're thinking about it in a Gemara way, then it's v'higita bo yomam v'layah. If you're reading the newspaper and you're reading it with a Gemara methodology, it's v'higita bo yomam v'layah. If your mind is being molded, and today we know a lot about the plasticity of the mind and that your mind can be molded. So generally, one of my peeves is that where learning has moved in many cases, and Art Scroll and Masivt and all these things are partly responsible for that, is we have, it's a strong word to use, and I don't mean it as strongly, but I'll explain it, we've secularized Gemara. Gemara is hard because it doesn't use a linear methodology. It doesn't use a linear methodology deliberately. because Torah is not linear. What all these new Sforim, Sifrei Ezer, do, and a lot of Shiurim, is turn it into a linear process, explain it linearly. And all of a sudden people say, oh, so now I get it. So if we're looking at Bechorot, where should it start? If you open the Gemara, what would you expect? If you're thinking, that if you were just a decent teacher, where would you start?
Psukim.
Yeah, what is a Bechor? Where does it come from? What are the basic principles? There's this, there's that, there's the other. The Rambam does it quite well. The Rambam has a much more linear framework, and therefore it's so easy to understand. And part of the opposition to the Rambam was that at the time was that it was linear. It's not that you're making it too easy. It's that by making it linear, you're not allowing people's minds to develop in a Torah way. So the Gemara doesn't work in a way that is linear. And that is academic in the normal sense of the word. We were talking about Tosfot a few minutes earlier before you came in, and the fact that Tosfot is difficult, and we'll discuss that. But our purpose in Gemara, in this Chabura, in this year that we have together, it's really to apply our minds to the way the Gemara thinks. Whether we finish the Besefta or we finish Tudaf, it just doesn't make a difference. What's important is that each evening, we've grappled with something, applied our minds to something, conceptualized, and we have an insight, as I said in Shul on Shabbos also, you have an insight that goes beyond the Gemara. The insight is something which is valuable beyond that. So, despite what I just said, I did prepare some sheets which you'll have to share, which do have the psukim, but my main reason for it is not the psukim. My main reason for it is a sforna. The Sforno will help us create a framework for what we're about to learn and what before really is there. You and I can share one.
Okay.
So the dinim of Bechor appear in basically three places in the Torah. And we'll go through them. The first one is incredibly intriguing, and that's in Shmot Yud Gimel Parshat Bo, "V'hayakiv yarcha Hashem el zachlani asher nishba lecha v'lavotecha unutana lach, v'avarta chol peter rechem laHashem, v'chol peter sheger behema asher yiyeh lecha hazacharim laHashem." So any bechor, the first animal that comes out of the womb of whoever is going to be a bechor, we'll see who that is. The Torah hasn't even said that yet. Including if there's been a miscarriage, then that's counted as a bechor, so the next child born is not a bechor. That belongs to Hashem. So we have the idea of a bechor laHashem, whatever that means. What does it mean it belongs to Hashem? More than everything belongs to Hashem. What does that mean? Bechor peter chamor tifteh v'seh. And here we have a weird thing. Not only is it a human and kosher animals, but all of a sudden, where do we have a thing like this? A chamor also has to have pidyon. V'im lo tifteh v'arafto. Pidyon means that you've got to take a sheep and transfer the kedusha, so to say, from the donkey onto the lamb, and you give the lamb to the kohen. That's what you have to do. If you don't do that, v'arafto, you've got to kill the donkey by chopping off its head. V'chol b'chor adam b'vanecha tifteh, and the same with it, with your sons, with your children, there has to be pidyon. So that when it says the same thing applies in the same pasuk, that's about pidyon. Just as you need pidyon by a pet, by a chamor, so you need pidyon by a human. Whereas with an animal, it really is lashem, meaning it's brought on the mizbech. So for a kosher animal, the bechor belongs to the kohen, but the kohen has to bring certain parts of the animal on the mizbech. So there's a part of the bechor that comes to the mizbech, that's laHashem. So there are these two pieces, as we were saying before. There's the piece that the kohen has monetary ownership of this animal, and at the same time there's a korban piece of it. So we've got to look at that relationship. Then you've got the donkey. The donkey, of course, has no part on the mizbech, and I think we'll go to the mizbech, but it does need pidyon. And you've got the human who, like the donkey, can't go onto the mizbech, but needs pidyon as well. So those are the three types of Bechor that we have. Now the interesting one. Think of the Pesach Seder. V'haya ki yishalcha vincha machar le'mor mazot. So what's that in the Haggadah? Whose kasha is that?
The Tam.
And what's he asking in the Haggadah?
What's the Seder?
Yeah, what's going on in the Seder? What is all the Seder about? What is he asking here, Mazot?
What's the Bechor?
Yeah. Well, not just what's the Bechor. Have a look down at the Sforno, at the
Petach Hamor.
Mazot, Pidyon Petach Hamor, Shuhu Behema Tmea. V'lo Tachul Alav Kedushat Haguf. V'arifat Petach Hamorim Lo Tifteh. What is this practice? Where do you find a non-kosher animal all of a sudden has Dinei Bechor? So this is no Tam's question. That's how the Haggadah playing with it. But that's not Pshat in the Pasuk. Pshat in the Pasuk, this is a specific question on the absurdity of the din of Petach Hamor. On the surface, it seems to be absurd. And v'hayaki yishalacha, and v'hayaki yishalacha doesn't mean, and it will be if your child asks. Now we can learn it b'pashtus. Your child is going to ask. When you learn this parasha with your child, he's going to say, what's this about? How is this possible? That there's a din of pidyon petach chamor. Why a chamor? And what's the va'arafto? Where do we have this before? And it's just completely unusual. It's not similar in any way to any other halacha in the entire Torah. And your son will ask you. So then you'll answer him. Va'amata elav b'chozik yad hotzianu Hashem mi'mitzrayim mi'beit avadim. You'll explain to him it's all because of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Let's go through the Sforno. Now, the Sforno, unlike Rashi, it does the same in Gemara as he does in Chumash, explains each posuk as he chooses to explain that posuk based on the Chazal in that posuk. But you're not going to get a world view from learning Rashi. You're not going to get Rashi's hashkofa. Each posuk is there, and sometimes there'll even be stirrus with the Rashi, as we've got in Gemara many times, where Rashi contradicts himself. It doesn't matter. You use Rashi to understand the specific thing you're working on. The Sforno and the Ramban have a world view. They have a system that goes from the beginning of the Chumash to the end of the Chumash, and it's consistent, and you can get their worldview by studying Ramban or by studying Sforno. Look at the Sforno here. Kadesh li kol bechor. She yitchayvu kulam befidyon kishar kol hekdesh. Every bechor needs pidyon. See, here he's talking specifically about the human bechor, because we're looking here at... Posuk. Which posuk is God Kadesh Likol B'chol? Sorry?
It's at the beginning of the period.
Yeah, it's before. And we're talking there about B'chol Adam.
About the Chumashim if we need.
Yes, sure, absolutely, sure. That's what I hear. She's Chayvu Kulam B'fiyun Kishar Kol Hekdesh. Leman yiyu mutarim ba'avodat chol. This is a huge chiddush in the Sforno, but it will help us in the Gemara a whole lot. The Sforno is saying, because without pidyon, a bechor would not be mutar to do anything not kodesh. So a bechor, a human bechor, would not be allowed to go to work. He would not be allowed to go for a walk. He couldn't do anything. All he could do is work in the Beis HaMikdash. Shelulea pidyon. If it weren't for pidyon, a bechor would be osur to do melechet chol. Ki inyan lo tavod b'chol shorecha, pidyon nafsham hu ha'erech ha'mufurash leben chodesh, b'farshat erchin. There's a reason why we've got the amount that you have to use to be poide a bechor. B'yot azman pidyono, komro, fiduyim ben chodesh tifteh. Then mazot, the next sforno, when the child says mazot pidyon petach chamor shu be'emat mea lo tachul alei kedushat haguf arifat petach chamor im lo tipadeh. So we answer bechozek yad hotzianu Hashem im Mitzrayim. Bechozek yadam shel Mitzrayim hotzianu Hashem. Have you ever thought of the pasuk, reading the pasuk that way? Bechozek yad hotzianu Hashem im Mitzrayim. It's because of their chozek yad that Hashem took us out from there. Bechozek yad of Mitzrayim. Hotzianu Hashem mi'Mitzrayim. Ko'omro v'techezak Mitzrayim al ha'am ba'ofen shelo yacholno laset nechasenu ba'agalot Kiminhag Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, if people had to schlep their possessions, they had chariots, they had wagons to do that. But they wouldn't give us wagons. We had to use donkeys. It's not convenient. How much can you get onto a donkey instead of getting one of these big trucks and you fill it up? That's what people used to use. They used to use big trucks. They wouldn't give us the trucks. So we had to bring everything out on donkeys. The Naseh Bahem Neshi Spiku Lezeh Bekamorega. And that was a nes, that all of a sudden there were enough donkeys to be able to carry everything that had to be carried and was all available. V'chala alehem ezu kedushai ru'uya lepidyon. And at that point, on the species of the donkey, there was chala kedusha, that needs pidyon to take it away. Otherwise, the donkey also can't be, you can't use the donkey for chol. V'yihi ki ikshah paro, v'yiyot sheparo ikshah l'shalchenu, and because paro made it difficult for us to leave, v'hu nimshal l'chamor. The Egyptians are referred to in Tanakh as chamorim, for whatever reason. So the chamorim didn't allow us to leave. He could have saved himself by sending out the Jews. The Jewish people are called the Seh. So the chamor could have been poder himself with the Seh by letting the Jews out. He would have been saved. And so since the Chamor, the Mitzri, wasn't poideh himself, Hashem kills him for that reason. So just pause there. So that's how we explain to the child the Petah Chamor. That's what we're doing here. The right thing is for the chamor to have pidyon, the same as Paro should have made pidyon. And then you take the lamb and you give the lamb to the kohen. So there's some generosity involved. You've got to surrender a little bit. That's okay. But you save the donkey. And if you don't do that, you lose the donkey. That's the message here. There are times when you've got to let something go. There are times when you've got to give something away, because by giving it away, you preserve it. Paro could have preserved his entire nation by giving away the Jews. That's what we want to learn. So you say to the child, what we want to learn over and over again is, Paro could have saved everything had he given the Jews away. And you little boy, then you're playing with your toys and your friend wants some of those toys, give some away. Because if you don't give some away, you'll lose everything. And that's a lesson in life. If you don't give some away, you'll lose everything. That's the din of Pidyon Bechor, of Pidyon Peterechem, of Pidyon Peterechamon. Just to be able to know that and to link it back to Paro. And kol b'chol b'etz v'tzrayim v'ayu b'chori Yisrael ruyim l'lekot imahem, and the b'chori Yisrael should also have been killed. Al derech pentisafeh b'avon ha'ir, because of kivan shenit no reshut l'mashchis, as Rashi brings on the pasuk, once there's a makas b'choris, it hits every b'chor, it doesn't matter who's deserving and who isn't. V'hitzilem b'mashi hikdishom lo. So Hashem saved the b'chor by being makdish them. He made them hektish. He made them for hektish for the mizbeach or for the beis hamikdash. But often shayu b'chori ha'adam b'Yisrael kamo nazirim or yoter. So Hashem, by being makdish them, harei ze hektish. The Rebbe Hashem said on every b'chor Yisrael, this b'chor is from now on hektish. Miyuchadim la'avodat hakel yitbarach. Now they're a different species. When you make something hektish, as we'll see when we go through and we have these sukkahs and b'choris, when you make something hektish, you're changing the quality of the object. It's not just that you're saying, I'll give this to the Beis HaMikdash. Hektish is not chulin. It has different halachas. It's a different species. So when Hashem made the b'chori Yisrael hektish, they were no longer b'chori Yisrael. They were hektish. They were not nazirim. They're a different species. Now the mashchit comes and kills all the b'chorim. These aren't b'chorim. These are something else. This is a new species. This is hektish. That's the technique Hashem used to save the Bechorim. It's interesting that even Hashem has to use halachic technique. Hashem could just have said, kill all the other Bechorim, but not the Israel. Not Israel. Even the Ribbono Shel Olam has to use halachic technique to do things within the system. So he's makdish the Bechorim Israel. Now there's a problem. Now the problem is they're hektish. Now they can't do anything. They can't pick up a pencil. They can't do anything. That would be me'ila if they did anything. על כן אני זווח בכל בהמה, בכל בני הפדה, כדי שיהיו מותרים בעבודתך. So the reason for pidyon is so that a bechor should be a mutar ba'avodascho. That's the reason that he gives. And he's not finished. Going. Then in Shmos Lamedal we've got kol peter echem li bechom miknacha tizachar peter shor vase. So every peter echem is mine, bless you, and every all your cattle tizachar. A strange word tizachar because that's like a verb. And it's a zachar, the male, every male one. But we're going to learn from that. We'll see on the first omud already. We're going to learn from that grammatical construction of tizachar. Ufete chamot tifteh beseh, v'imlo tifteh v'arafto, kol b'chol banecha tifteh, v'lo yera'u fanai rekam. In Shmos. Then we go to Bamidbar. וידבר השם משה לאמור, ואני הנה לקחתי את הלוויים מתוך בני ישראל, תחת כל בכל פתר רחם בבני ישראל, והיו לי הלוויים. So now Hashem substitutes the Levim for the Bechorim. Ki li kol bechor b'yom hakuti kol bechor b'etz Mitzrayim, mikdashti li kol bechor b'Yisrael, ma'adam ad behema, li yu ani Hashem. Now, let's go to this phone again. Tachat kol bechor l'pidyon, but the important piece is ki li kol bechor. Mikedem hayta ha'avodah b'vchorot. This is nothing new that the avodah was b'vchoros. What was the whole Esav of this week's parsha? What did Yosef want? What did Yaakov ask for? Michra hayom is bechoros. It's bechorosko. There was a bechorah. The idea of bechor was already from the time of Cain and Hevel. There was the understanding that the bechor had a special status and that the bechor would be used for avodah. That this didn't start now, says this one. ביום הקוצי כל בכור בית מצרים הקדשתי לי כל בכור בישראל אמנם במכות בכורות שהיו הבכורות ראויים להיענש באבון הדור. What changed at יציאת מצרים was that the בכורים, because they are the leaders, because they are the ones who should do their avoda, they should have been killed because they stand at the front of the nation. בבני היותם היותר נכבדים ובהיותם בלתי ראויים להינצל ממכת מדינה כעניין פן תסבר באבון העיר. ואני הצלתים, I saved them, במה שהקדשתים לי בעניין שיהיו אסורים להתעסק בעבודת הדיוט, כמשפט כל הקדש. You see the Sifona carrying on with his view, שהוא אסור בגזע בעבודה, למען יהיו מותרים בזה, הצרכתים פדיון כמשפט כל הקדש שיוצא לפני. So that, the Bechor was always special and used for עבודה, that's all. That's always been the case. What happened in Mitzrayim is, I pushed him up a notch even higher, and I made him hektesh. Now we have a problem. Now that he's hektesh, he can't be mutar b'chol. So we need pidyon as a way to get him out of b'chol. But he still remains doing the avoda until the egel. It was only when they participated in the egel that Hashem substitutes the levim for the b'chorim. But until that time, they would still do the avoda as they always used to. So the pidyon and the avoda piece, the tzvon is separating. So you've got a Bechor. What is the din with a Bechor? A Bechor was the Kohen in the olden days. When did that start? With Cain and Hevel. That's when that started. The Bechor was the Kohen. At the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, in addition to being a Kohen, the Bechor became hektish.
But did it start with Cain and Hevel? I know it started with the Tzon, because it says Bechoros Tzon, he brought the first
of the You see tzon. There the Bechoros of the Tzon already, the fact that the whole argument between Cain and Hevel, one assumes already that there was an understanding that he was the Bechor. And that's
who,
why
the
he Cain.
Was,
that Cain.
Cain was the Bechor. He brought the first Korban, wasn't he?
And he did, he was Makriv, and he was Makriv, and it wasn't accepted.
Right.
So you see already there was that rivalry and that...
But Cain was the first.
Cain was the firstborn, wasn't he? Okay. Cain was the firstborn. And then you see all the way through, and with Yaakov and Esav again, all the way through. There's no with Reuven.
It's an intrinsic value within. The,
it seems it's intrinsic because there's no way the Torah
it's just
said
an idea that Hashem put in so that you should have.
It seems
like you need
intrinsic.
Karnim Levim, you need Bechorim.
It seems it's intrinsic that if a family were created from scratch, automatically the firstborn would take more responsibility.
That's the reason why Hashem gives him more kedusha. Because he has more responsibility.
That's because he had more responsibility, he should have been killed with the Bechorim. Even more so. So there are two reasons he should have been killed with the Bechorim of Mitzrayim. The one is Kivan Shenitna Rishut Lamashkit. There's no discrimination. There's a plague comes in, it gets Tzadikim as well. So that's the one reason that the Bechori Israel should also have died. And the other reason is because they were responsible as leaders of Israel. The Sforno says they stand on the front line. So if anybody gets affected, they're going to get affected. And they're responsible. They should have maybe done more to bring Klal Yisrael to the levels they needed to be. So the Bechorim had more to answer for.
So the Bechor was below a father, but was like a father figure when the father passed away.
Yes, the Bechor was the father figure of the siblings. Exactly right. And that was innate. Now again, whether it's innate because Hashem built the world that way or because society made it that way, let's say Hashem built that into the world, but it's not because of a mitzvah. Nowhere did Hashem say, in the early days, the firstborn should be a Bechor. But automatically, Yitzchak says, I want to give the bracha to Esav. He's the Bechor. There was a clear understanding of succession that would be the Bechor.
The Yerusha reflected that as well, that they had the extra responsibility for the other children.
Later on, you see, with the Hilchus Yerusha, it comes in. But here, there's a different thing that the Sforno brings in. In order to save them, Hashem was makdish them, which created the need for Pidyon. That's where Pidyon comes from. Pidyon comes from the fact that that Hashem was makdish the Bechor. V'lo bishvil zeh ha-pidyon ha-yubtzuri min ha-avoda. The Pidyon doesn't make them potter ba-avoda. They're still chayv ba-avoda. They are still the Kohanim, after the Pidyon. V'achshav shechatu, it's only because they were choyte b'chayt ha-egel, ma'astim v'lakakti ha-levi'im tachtem b'fidyon, v'ayu li ha-levi'im la-avoda. So these are two different things.
So why do we now need the Pidyon?
Because that good question. So that will be forever. So Hashem says the idea of the Pidyon, once I made the Bechorim Hekdesh, it wasn't only those Bechorim, I made the concept of Bechor Hekdesh.
But we said after the Chetz, that redeemed us from the Avoda.
No, that from the Avoda, but not from the Hekdesh piece.
Right.
So the one is a historic responsibility of a Bechor to be the Oved. That continued until the Egel, when Hashem substituted Bechoris for Kohanim.
Yeah.
That's one piece. At the time of Yetzis Mitzrayim, Hashem was makdish the Kohanim, requiring Pidyon to be matir there. That requirement that of Pidyon continues forever. Right.
So you've got two running paradigms.
Yes.
So really the Kohanim and Levim were kind of a mistake. Should have been the Bechoris.
Should have been the Bechoris. The Kohanim Levim only got it because the Bechoris messed up.
Because the
ego. But the Pidyon has nothing to do with that. The fact that what would be really interesting is, if there weren't Kohanim and Levim, how would we do the Pidyon? Because the two have nothing to do with each other. We've just the Sforno. So according to the Sforno, let's say the Kohanim wouldn't have the Bechoris wouldn't have messed up at the ego. So they're now Kohanim and Levim. So you guys are just ordinary like the rest of us. Now somebody has a Bechor. He's got to be poyde because.
But then Pidyon. You wouldn't do Pidyon.
Why?
Pidyon's got nothing to do with the Kohanim. Because the Bechoris would be the Kohanim. They would have to say.
No, we're talking about the Bechoris.
Yeah, it's the Bechoris of the Kohanim.
The
so the Bechoris would be the Kohanim.
But if there's no base in Mikdash, what would they do?
So then you'd use the Bechoris to do the Pidyon.
So the Bechoris would probably have to
be. No, you can't be poyde yourself, but you could be poyde another
Bechoris.
Surely the father would do the Pidyon.
The father,
because the father should be above the Bechor.
Yes, but to be poyde, you've got to give something to the Beis Hamikdash. You've got to basically, you're giving to the Kohen is to in order to be poyde. So you're giving the Kohen money. Who would you give the money to if there were no Kohen?
What is a Kohen's Bechor? How does a Kohen redeem his
own Bechor? So a Kohen doesn't have to.
Like a Bat Kohen also doesn't have to.
And therefore, for the same reason that you're saying before. So we might have to say that according to the Sforno, that if they were no Kohanim, the attacker wouldn't have been a din pidyon, because the Bechorim would have been poyde themselves. But that's not what he says. So anyway, let's bear that in mind that you've got that there's how, because we're going to have cases of Kohanim who have their own animals, Kohanim who have their own children. What are they? Do they kind of de facto poyde just by the fact that they're a Kohen, or don't they need pidyon?
Interestingly, the concept of being poyde is in the Torah, which was given before the Chet.
There was already the whole
idea. So it was already there.
And that's the Sforno's point. Pidyon was the result of Makkos Bechoris. The need for Pidyon was a consequence of Makkos Bechoris. Bechoris doing the Avoda, that was from long before that time. So these things do go parallel, and we'll see them play out. Let's go on with the psukim. Ki li kol b'chol b'vnei Yisrael ba'adam v'ba'abeyema b'yom ha'kati kol b'chol b'yom ha'kati kol b'chol b'yom ha'kati kol b'chol b'yom ha'kati. So here you see in the pasuk clearly what the Sforim is saying. B'yom ha'kati kol b'chol b'yom Mitzrayim hikdashti otam li. He doesn't say as a result of.
Just one, I'm not following. So a kohen and a levi can't opt out of their avodah. So why should a kohen prior to a b'chor prior to the avodah be able to be poyder himself? Why is he able to voluntarily downgrade his status? Why does he need a pidyon?
Because otherwise he couldn't do avodah shchol.
Yes, to avodah shchol, so she needs to do avodah shchol. I think that she needs to be a.
It would have been more than a kohen because when the way Hashem, what Hashem, take it a step back. Before Makas Bechoris, Bechoris were like kohanim. Before Makas Bechoris, they were like kohanim. They were chayim b'avodah. They were the chayim b'avodah, and they were the father of the family, and all of those.
After Makas Bechoris, they had to be.
After Makas Bechoris, they were like hektish. They were like a korban. It's like in the parasha, in our parasha this week, where Hashem says to Yitzchak, you can't leave Eretz Yisrael because you're a korban, you're a tomim, and you can't go to Chutz Laaretz. The object is different. So when Hashem was mekadesh the bechorim, it's not just he made them like kohanim, he made them like a korban. That's a problem. How do you live like that? How do you even live like that?
What does Hashem achieve? I mean, to what end? He's made this. He's
to save them from Makas Bechoris. That's all he did it for.
So he gave them an out also.
He gave them they're of Makas Bechoris because they're not Bechoris, they're a different species. But now that's gone, we're over that. Yeah, now what do? You've got this group of people who can't lift they can't lift a glass of water.
Only because they need to show the appreciation for the fact that they weren't killed in Makas Bechoris.
No, because they're Korbanos, because they're Hektish. Because
only
they have a
because
din of
they
Hektish.
Weren't killed in Makas Bechoris.
Yes, but it's not because of giving thanks. That's the way we've traditionally understood it. The reason I did this, that we should remember that the Bechorim was saved. The Sforim says, no, there was a halachic problem. These guys are korbanos.
After
Makas Bechoris.
After Makas Bechoris, so then they have to be paid. You have to pay to them.
Yes.
Only because they are now more Kodesh as a result
because
of
they're more Kodesh,
Makas Bechoris.
So as to have been saved from Makas Bechoris, right.
Right.
But it's not appreciation or anything, it's just a halachic fact.
But isn't that complicated? How do you, like for example, let's say, a second, or someone who's not a Bechor, he would have a Bechor 5 generations later, would now be Kadosh. How do you makdish something that's not in the world? I mean,
it's been just been created.
So it seems, that's a great question. So you would have said that the Rebbeinu Shem was makdish, not just the particular Bechor of that time. He was makdish the concept of Bechor, which is an incredible idea. Oh. That I don't think we can do that. I don't think we can't make hekdesh on a concept.
Like
concert.
A paradigm or something. There's certain halachos that happen even though it's not.
Even before it exists. Yeah. It's the concept of Bechor that Moshe was makdesh. That if you fit into the category of Bechor.
Well, we can make something kadosh ourselves.
But you can't make something that doesn't exist yet.
Yeah, but so when it's created, Hashem makes it hektish.
Each time. But it seems more than that. It seems that Rebbeinu Shem attached a set of halachas to the concept of Bechor. Anybody who's born with these criteria, meaning a peter rechem, automatically, the same as today, anybody who's
can't
born...
Can't we do that with an unborn calf?
No, we're going to see how difficult that is. We're going to see how difficult that is to do with unborn. But at least the fetus was there already. You're right. That's a good example where that.
No, she said if I have a child, he will be.
He will be another.
And that's when
she says. How do you take a shvur that binds somebody else to a shvur that you've made?
So these are all good things. But what is emerging is that Rebbeinu Shem created a new set of halachas, and that was called Bechor. But it was created for a very short period of time. The Bechor that Hashem created, there was Bechor from before, but at Yetzias Mitzrayim, a new halachic concept classification was created, a Bechor who is also Bechol Melech Melechet Chunin. He's treated completely as Hektish. That means we would have to serve him because he wouldn't be able to do anything for himself. And that wasn't practical. So Rebbeinu Shem gives us in the Torah Pidyon as a way to release the Bechor from an untenable existence.
So they must have done a pidyon in Mitzrayim.
Sorry?
They must have done a pidyon in Mitzrayim.
To straight away become, otherwise yeah. immediately, otherwise that one would think so. One would think that would be that would have been
isn't
otherwise.
Isn't that the Korban Pesach? That partly the Korban Pesach?
I don't think so, why?
That it was a pidyon for the Bechorot. Bechorim.
Have you seen that somewhere? That
no,
the,
just...
Do you think? I don't think so, but let's think about it. Let's think, maybe. Let's think about it. Just let's finish all of this. Kiliko Bechor, that's the Rashi, is straightforward. The next Forno, again, I just want you to see this Forno developing this all the way through Shaita Mikedem Avodah Bivkorot, Vibnei Heotam Anichbadim Beveitam, Velahem Mishpat Avodah. So again, this was always the case. The Bechor was the Nichbad, and the Bechor had the Mishpat Avodah. The Bechor was the person who did the Avodah. B'yom HaKoti Kol Bechor Hikdashti, Avah Ma Shehitzrachti Otam Defidyon, Haya Atam Bishvil Shebiyom HaKoti Hikdashtim, Li, Shelo Yitasku Ba'avodat Hediot Klau, Kamo Sha'asati Gizah Ba'avodah Bechor Behema, Vezeh Asiti Kedei La'atzilam B'Torat Hekdesh, Shelo Ayu Ru'iyim Linatzel Menigei Mishlachat Malach Hiraim, Behiyot Hem Anichbadim Ba'am, V'Kolal Kulam Talui Ba'hem. The whole nation is led by the Bechorim, so the Bechorim would have been the first to go. V'Amalti Shiyipadu Kedei Shiyetzu L'Kulin, Bezeh Shiyu Mutarim Ba'avodat Hediot. So I've given Pidyon as a mechanism to be Matir Kohen and Bechor to do Avodas Hedyot. Because without that, they wouldn't have been able to do Avodas Hedyot. So he's consistent all the way through that there are these two pieces, exactly as you said earlier, there are these two pieces of the Kohen, his Chiyuv Ba'avoda and the Chiyuv Pidyon. They're not connected. That the Kohen was the Baal HaAvoda, and he was substituted with the Levim, that's one piece, and the Chiyuv Pidyon is another piece. The two have nothing to do with each other. And that's going to be important for us as we get into it. I want to just do a little bit on the Mishnah to get in and see what we're dealing with. So we've already said the Gemara, if it was a reasonable educator, would start with some of the stuff that we've done with the Psukim. So we can say the Gemara assumes you've seen the Psukim. The Gemara assumes you've seen the Mishnah. There's certain assumptions that the Gemara has. You've seen the Psukim, you've seen the Mishnah. Fine. So now where would you start? So the Mishnah starts with Halokeach Ubar Chamoro Shel Oved Kochavit. One of the things that's important to understand with Gemara all over Shas is what Gemara does is it pushes the outer boundaries of Halacha to their limits in order to test where that boundary is. That Gemara is like a halachic pressure cooker. It takes the Halacha, it's Shulchan Aruch just states the Halacha as it is. But the Gemara takes every Halacha and pushes it in the most theoretical, absurd sometimes cases to test at what point it no longer works. That's what Gemara is. It tests the outer limits of Halakha. So you see right over here, Halokeach Ubar Chamoro Shel Oved Kochavit. So what does it start with? The first case of, what is the first thing you think of? Right, I'm going to learn about Bechoris. You buy a non-Jew's fetus. Donkey's feet. We're not into the Bechor Adam. We're not with the Bechor Behemoth Tahiro. The donkey, you bought a donkey's fetus. That's where the Masechta starts. Or you sell it to him. In parenthesis, afapishe no reshai. By the way, you're not allowed to do that. But let's say you did. Let's push the boundaries. So you did something you're not allowed to do. We'll talk about why you're not allowed to do it. You sold an uber of your chamor to a goy. Hamishtatef lo, or you went into partnership with a goy in an uber. V'hamekabel hemenu. Or you received an animal from a goy. Mekabel means you receive an animal from a goy. You take care of the animal and you share in the calves. So instead of being paid to take care of the animal, you have a share in the calves. That's the deal. The capital is mine. The animal belongs to me. You manage the capital for me. And we share the profits. Regular kind of a business deal. I put the money in. You manage the business. We share the profits. That's a mekabel. Or you make the goy the manager. In all those cases, potter min habechor. All those cases, there's no chiyuv bechor. Sheneamar b'Yisrael aval lo b'acher. So why are we starting here? Says Rashi, halokeach ubar chamoro uvechor hu. This ubar is a bechor. We might not yet know that it's going to be a male, but there's it's the first animal. If it's a male, it's going to be a bechor. V'adayin hu b'mei imo, it's still in the mother's womb. V'hai denakat chamor v'lo nakat para. Why do we start with chamor and not with the behemah tahora? Mefarish befirik etzanina, the Gemara says further on, the aidi de zutra mili de petach chamor pasik v'shadile. Since there are not that many halachot about petach chamor, the Gemara gets done with it in the beginning. Let's just deal with petach chamor. It's one perik and we'll be done. And the rest of it we're talking about behemah tahora and bechor odom. So we want to just get. Often we see this when the Mefarshim look, and sometimes the Gemara itself, as to why we started a particular place, we'll get an answer something like this, which is an unsatisfying sort of answer, isn't it? Like, come on, really? It gives us a technical answer, but I think if you look at the style of the Gemara. What the Gemara is starting with is the outermost case of Bechor. What is the outermost case of Bechor? Bechor, Behema Tehoro, goes to the Mizbeach. Bechor Odom, we've just learned in the Sforno, was Hekdesh once. Came close to going on the Mizbeach. The next level. Chamor is much further out. The Chamor, there's no Havamina that the Chamor is going to go anywhere near the Mizbeach. So the Chamor is the outermost example of chamor, of bechor. And what case is the most outermost case of a bechor of a chamor? One in which a goy has a shutvus. If it belongs to the goy completely, it's not a bechor. If it belongs to the Jew completely, it certainly is a bechor. But let's push to the outer limits and say, what's the flimsiest case of a bechor? The flimsiest case of a bechor is a bechor behema tzmeah, meaning a chamor that belongs in part to a non-Jew. Let's test the flimsiest case and see where that boundary line is. At what point does this animal start becoming a bechor?
It seems a little bit pshita. It brings a pasuk, okay.
Ooh, we can see it's not so poshut.
I understand that, but it seems a little bit...
And if you ask me, Sforo, why is it so poshut? Why should it be so easy to get out of the chamor? What happens about the kohen? The kohen doesn't get it just because the non-Jew has some kind of little partnership.
You could say that Kedusha cannot fall on a part. Okay. Kedusha is something that envelops the whole animal.
And therefore this gets in the way of Kedusha being chal.
There's a block. Yeah.
So that would be okay if we were talking about a Behemah Tahora, where there's Kedusha Saguf. But with a Petah Chamor, where it's clearly only, it would seem that it's only Kedusha's mom and not Kedusha Saguf, why should that be on our section? It'll be chal. So conceptually, it's not so logical. So yes, so we've got a posuk. Shenema bi Yisrael avalo ba'acherim. What we're going to be looking at in this Mishnah, I'll give you just some of the insights and some of the things we'll be doing, and we'll need a little bit of the Gemara to begin to get into that, is firstly the relationship between the mother and the baby. Is this one unit or two units? and that has a whole lot of interesting in terms of ownership. If the goy owns the mother, how does it affect the baby? But the Jew owns the baby. Does that mean the goy has any ownership in the bechor, or vice versa? So what is the relationship between the mother and the baby? One of the things we're going to look at is this one unit or these two completely different units. We're going to look at this little aside of afa pisha en orishai. Why aren't you allowed to sell an animal to a goy? So there's a sugi and avodah zara. You can have a look at that, and we'll have a look at it together. But there's an interesting machlokes Rashi and Tosfos that we'll talk about why that is, and we'll look at if you look actually in the Rashi that I printed out for you, I bolded the words in Rashi that are going to be important for Rishon.
Why do we care if he does malacha without the Shabbos?
It's really crazy, isn't it? Who cares? It's not my animal.
I sold it to a goy.
What does it mean? You can't sell your car to a goy?
He's going to drive it on Shabbos.
He's going to drive it on Shabbos. It doesn't make sense. Correct. So if you look at the Rashi, there are three pieces in the Rashi that on page 5. There are three pieces that I did in bold. B'pnei she'osah b'melechah Shabbos. That's the first thing we've got to look at. Well, who cares? The next one is Ein ha'kodesh hu v'yesh chelek lo'evit kirchovim boi o be'imoi she'nema higdashti li'ko b'cho b'Yisrael aval lo b'achim o'evit kirchovim. So Rashi clearly states that both ownership in the mother or in the child are learned from the same pasuk of Higdashti li kol b'chor b'Yisrael. So even ownership in the mother is excluded from b'chor because of this pasuk of Higdashti li b'chor b'Yisrael, which is the pashtus of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Shenema b'Yisrael, avalo b'acherim. But Rashi says very clearly that it's one pasuk. Tosfos is going to say they're two different psukim, which has all sorts of interesting ramifications, which we'll have a look at. And the third Rashi is in the beginning of the Gemara, where the Gemara says, when you buy a Bechor from a Goy, mighty lali Kedusha, you're bringing it into Kedusha. What does that mean, says Rashi? Shetehei shovetet b'shavis. You bring it, it's like you're being mekarev of the animal. It's exactly like that. It's like you're doing a mitzvah, you're being mekarev of the animal. And that's a mitzvah that you do. So those are the three chidushim in Rashi that we'll notice. We'll see Tosfot. But in doing that, these are the ideas we're going to have to be working with. What is this bechor? The relationship of the mother to the child is this one unit. Mother and child is one unit. Are they two separate units? If they're separate units, what is ownership in one? How does ownership in one affect ownership in the other? And how do they impact one another? And the idea of bringing an animal into Kedusha or out of Kedusha, which is, what does that mean? And that's the other piece that we'll do. So those are some of the things we look at in the first Omud. And as I said, there's I don't want you to feel any pressure or to put us, me, under any pressure to cover pages. It's just each time to cover concepts, to learn a new idea. And tonight, the new idea is the Sfona, which just takes the whole thing of the relationship between Bechor, Makas Bechoris, and Yetzias Mitzrayim, and just turns it all on its head and opens it into a whole new... And you should put a note in your Haggadah so that when Pesach comes around, you remember to look at the Sfona and to have a different kind of a conversation at the Seder table.
Recorded it?
Yeah.
Send it to Brazil.
That's exactly right.